Morinayim on Parshas Shoftim. So the truth of the matter is that there is no Morinayim on Parshas Shoftim. And I cannot rewrite the Sefer. So what do? We have to make up for the Parshas that we missed. So last week was Parshas Re'eh. There was Akev. And there was Vizchana. And since we have so many people in the financial sector over here, one of the great financial advisors, so we will turn to the Morinayim for financial advice. How's that? You give this to your customers, and you'll be a winner.
Can I ask a question first?
Yes.
Why is this parsha not...
I have no idea.
Is it the only one?
No, there are some. There are others, a few others. And you know that the Morinayim actually, you know, I told you many times that the original manuscript was 13 times bigger than this. He never wrote the Sefer. His Talmidim wrote the Sefer. And the original manuscript was 13 times bigger. This is 1/13.
Where is it? They still
have to... No. But they read it to him. And certain things he remembered and certain things he forgot. So whatever he remembered, he rejected. Because that's his Torah. But he forgot there was a clear siman that it was from Hashem. And not his. And that's why it was Shechinim Adaberes B'dol Grono. God spoke through his mouth. That's what he kept. So, over here is nothing. As a matter of fact, in Eretz Yisrael, I visited the new Racham Estrivka Rebbe of Yerushalayim. His father was Nifter about 2 years ago. So I went to visit him. And met him for the first time. And we were soulmates because, you know, Racham Estrivka is one of the Chernobyl Einiklach. Remember the Morinayim, Rebbe Nachum Nochum had a son, Rebbe Motel, the great Magid. And his Ramotl or Ramotl of Chernobyl had 8 sons. Yitzchak of Skver, and Avram of Trisk, Trisker Magid, and Tolna, and Racham Estrivka, Cherkas. He had 8 different sons all over the whole Ukraine. All Ukrainian Hasidus is really Chernobyl Eniklach. Today they're decimated. They were decimated by the pogroms of the Russian Revolution, the Second World War. So, but they were originally very prominent. Chernobyl was, I mean, a huge chunk of Hasidus, just that it was really wiped out. All the Hasidim were wiped out. They bore the brunt of the Churban. But especially in Ukraine, because it was a double whammy. They already got wiped out in the 1920s during the pogroms of the Russian Revolution. When Semyon Petluria, Yemach Shemo, and his hordes were killing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Yidden in the Ukraine. Ukraine is the heartland of Hasidus. Started in Ukraine, Hasidus. In Volhynia and Podolia. Again, I always heard those words. I never registered by me. I never could figure out where they were exactly until I went there. I went to the Ukraine 2 years ago. I got the sense of what they're talking about. You got a Mezhbiz, and you got all these places are there on the Tevka, Mezhbiz, and Uman, and Skver, and Chernobyl, and Zhytomyr. You know, you get the sense of what's happening. So, the Chernobyl Rebbe told me the following: Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shaakol Mi'ev Zro.
The
Racham Estrivka Rebbe. Yeah, I'm sorry. So the Racham Estrivka Rebbe, who's an ayol, he's a young man, must be in his 40s. He told me that there were 2 Talmidim who recorded all the Torah. They were both called Yirmiyah. It was the Grace of Yirmiyah and the Klein of Yirmiyah. And these 2 are the ones who recorded all the Morinayim's Torah all the years. To give you an example how great they were, the Talmidim, so the Morinayim once saw that one of these Rabbi Yirmiyahs, while he was saying Krishma, was in such a dveikus that he would like mamish's soul was about to fly out of his body. And he was mafsik in the middle of his Krishma, he ran over to him and shook him, because b'kuch nefesh, he felt he was going to lose him, so he shook him up so he shouldn't depart from this world. That's the kind of people we're talking about over here. Okay, so the Hilchos Morinayim says in Parshas Re'eh, These are classical shtickles. Yeah, no. If you're a Mori and I am telling you, I know the shtickle, but aser to aser. Give ma'aser, should you get rich. As, and the Medrash says another thing in the Medrash. Aser v'shvil shelo tischaser. Give ma'aser, so you shouldn't be missing. So he says, what does that mean? He says, really, the truth of the matter is that generally the human nature is, like it says in the Gemara, it's a Medrash in Kelas Rabbah, that ein od meis v'chatzi tavasa biyadak. A person doesn't die with even half of his desires in his hand. So human nature is very ordinary. If you have 100, you want 200. We always want more. So, he says, how could it be, how are you going to find a person who has midas estapkus? How do you find a person who is satisfied? Because people are never satisfied. On the other hand, we do find people who are satisfied. Why are they satisfied? Chazal say, Mishesh Lomana Motz wrote to Messiah. So he said the answer is that there's a special gift for those people who have a moon under a Bayan Shalom and have Bitochen. They will be Koneh the Mid of Estapkus, having enough. And that is the greatest blessing, to have enough. So, you know, what's the American dream, Dr. Feynman? The American dream is that I'll go to college. And I will get a degree, I'll become a doctor, I'll make a lot of money. So, and I'll save up a lot of money so that when I retire, I'll have a couple of million dollars in my pension funds and my retirement, and I'll be able to buy myself a beautiful house on the on Pebble Beach Golf Club on the 8th hole, and I'll have money to live off, and I'll putter around in my golf cart from the age of 65 to 85 or so, and I have a wonderful life without a care in the world. The Baal Bitachon has it already. Everybody wants, what's the reason why people want more money? Because I need money for security. I need money because I have money right now, but I need for the future. I need for a rainy day. I need for my children. You never have enough money. How much is enough? You're an investment advisor. How much is enough? How much is enough? Tell me. What do you tell people? How much is enough? 5 million? How much is enough to retire on when you're 65? How much? 10? 3? How much you need? It's never enough. You always want more. More. A person that I'll be talking to is a stopkus. So therefore he says that there's a special bracha that aser to aser, give maaser, should be rich. And the measure says, give maaser so al tischas, you won't be missing anything. That in the schus of Yimi Meiser, with full faith in Hashem, you will be mistopic, you'll be satisfied if you have. You will not go to Nosson Munk and ask him for better investments, more and more money. You say, I have Baruch Hashem, I'm okay. I have for today, I'm not worried about tomorrow. I have it all already. I have Hashem. Bitchoni, bitzuri, yotzuri. My faith in God, that's my Yotzer. That's what it means. I just wrote in a footnote over here that I was mechazeh chiddush in my footnote. That just like we say, that ain of the mace, got to be taken out of this world. We say, ain of the mace, v'chati tavasa v'yadav. A man doesn't die with even half of his desire in his hands. That is by gashmias. I would say the same thing by ruchnias, like someone like Chaim, who loves mitzvahs and loves Torah. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Ein adam meis v'chati tavasa l'mitzvahs biyadai. The more mitzvahs you do, the more you want. The Chazal say, on people do mitzvahs, oyev kesef v'yiz b'kesef. The same thing, oyev mitzvah v'yiz b'mitzvah. So that's why it says in last week's parsha, everything is in double lashon. Nasayin titain, pasayach tiftach. Right? Hanik tanik. Aser taser. To teach you that if a person is grounded properly, just like when you have $100, you want $200 in Gashmias, when you're taking, if you're a giver to God, then Asa, you gave Meiser, you want to give another Meiser. You gave Tzedakah, Nazain, Titain, Pasayach, Tiftach, Yopin, Yopin more. When it comes to mitzvahs, you want to do more also. So it works both ways. Because the Taiva means insatiable lust. So you can use the insatiable lust for gashmis, for money, you want more money, more money. not more bank accounts, but more accounts, but more money. Or you can use it for mitzvahs. Of course, you can squander. If you squander your desire for money, then you're not going to have it for mitzvahs or for Torah. Then for Torah, you'll be satisfied. A good var is good enough. One good var, two good zeretach is good enough. So that's your choice. Anyway, that's what the Morning Naim says. That's a famous yisoid. Aser to aser means the blessing is the blessing of histapkus, of satisfaction. Then, that's the Morning Naim in Parshas Re'eh. Actually, believe it or not, he's talking nothing on Ekev either. He doesn't have an Ekev. He does have on, there's no Morning Naim on Ekev, and there's no Morning Naim on Shoftim. But on Veschanan, there's a lot, there's a, many pages, 30, many pages on Veschanan. And he says here, he heard from the Rebbe of Zisha, the Chazal say, by Meiser it says, God says, "Ubechanuni nabezois, imli eftach lechem arubash of shemayim, varikoyse lechem bracha avidai." By Meiser, God says, "Test me out by Meiser." The pasuk is where Chaim, in Malachi Perek Gimel, Hashem says, "Bechanuni nabezois, please test me." Right? Test me about the Meiser, and. I'll open the windows of the sky. I will empty out upon you bracha without any end. No end. Endless bracha. So the Bezisha, the Morning Naim brings from Bezisha, that what does it mean? Bracha bilidai. It means a person who has a shtark bitachon Hashem. And he knows that everything comes from Hashem. He doesn't believe in the human being, it comes from the human being. He knows the person who was giving him the money is just a kli, he's a robot. He's just a vessel. But it's all from the Rabbi Shalom. So therefore the person who was mufshut from Malbushim, the person that stripped away all of the external shells, and he sees the truth that's coming from Hashem. Someone gives you something from Hashem. So, every now and then, sometimes, give money, give a check to someone who's been chasna, give him a check, they thank me profusely, give him a nice check. But they should know it's not for me. It's clearly not for me. Hashem made me do it. His mom is like, it's mom from Hashem. Like one day I had this machshava, out of the clear blue sky, I got to raise some money to give something for someone who's been chasna. I don't know why. And that day someone called me up, they're doing a business deal, and they wanted the bracha, so I said, I got a bracha for you. Give me money for Achnas Zakala. And they gave me a few thousand dollars. I had money to give to, I open the door for these guys that they're locked out here. Sasha will open it up. Chaim, we have someone who's younger than you. So the kids are, and we locked the door there. So the kids are, Hashem put in my head, I should give money to a few different people need for the Haklas's Kala. Hashem put in the head of this man to call me up out of the clear blue sky that he wants to do some mitzvahs. And, the guy was doing business in a certain country. So I told him, I want you to give me 100 times the gematria of that country. And it turned out that 100 times the gematria of the country in Hebrew was $6,600. So I got $6,600 to give for Chazal's Kala, and I was making people happy. So they thanked me. Now, it's nothing to do with me. It was all from the Rabbi Shalom. That day, I woke up with the machshava wanting to give these people money. Really. They didn't even ask me. I just did the making wedding, and they had no money. And Hashem put in the head of that person to call me up, that he wanted a bracha for his business deal. And it happened to be that the country was a good gematria. Of course, it actually is very low gematria, 66. It was a very good country. I wish he would have done business in Tataria. The tough race, Tataria. That would have been 1200, the Gematria is 1400 or something, 1415 times 100, that would have been good. That'd be a nice number. 1400 times 100. That'd be good. The kids, so says the Morning Naim, as long as you know, if you know that everything's in the Rabbi Shalom, and all the people involved are just pawns, just tools, they're nothing, then you get the bracha without a symptom. Then it's Hari Kaisel Lechem Bracha Abli Dai, because there's nothing in the way. It's coming straight from Hashem. The only reason why the bracha we have is Mitzimtzum is because we don't really fully believe it's from Hashem. Dr. Famous still thinks that it might be his clients. It's not your clients. It's not word of mouth. It's all from Hashem. Every client that comes across the threshold of your office doctor was not sent there by anyone other than Hashem. Hashem put in their head to come to you. Not in the ad in the paper. You don't have any. Maybe you do, but you don't. Not word of mouth. Not by how successful you are. Hashem sent them to your doorstep. Nothing else. Nobody else. Hakol bidei Shamayim. I have such a strong belief in that. This trip I just took, go on a trip, many things can go wrong, you know. Every time there was a suffix, maybe something can happen, go wrong. I said, Hakol bidei Shamayim, kus mir Shamayim. Your Shamayim is to decide. Otherwise, it's all from Hashem. And it's all the Simon Shesh made gracious. And that's where another shtickle of the Morinayim. The Morinayim says it clearly. That's what he said in the Parish of Tzchanan. He says, the Gemara says that Arbanyo Kiyom is here, Savlat. Before the child is, the embryo is formed, the mala comes with the original drop from which conception occurs and brings it in front of the Rabbanim Shlom. Hashem decrees whether the child will be rich or poor, or strong or weak, or smart or stupid. Which means that the Morinayim, that just like Hashem decides exactly what kind of nose you're going to have, What color eyes do you have? Brown? Blue? Well, it was decided not today and not when you were born. It was decided when you were conceived. 40 days before the Vlad started to be, the moment of conception. So just like your nose shape and your eye color and your eyebrows was all determined at conception, so too is your wealth and poverty. Every penny you'll earn in your lifetime was already decided from the moment you were conceived. How much or how little? Shidduchim for sure. It's all from the Rebbeinu Shlom. And it can't be changed. Now, it could be changed in this sense. Just, so first of all, did you ever go to sleep at night, Chaim, and worry that maybe in the morning your nose might fall off? Did you ever go to sleep at night, oh yeah, I hope I don't lose my nose tonight. Did you ever have that problem? Did you ever go to sleep at night, maybe an ear will fall off? You know, these ears, you know, you're not really sure, you know, and my ear might just fall off. No one ever worried about that. So do you have nothing to worry about your money, Chaim? There's nothing to worry about. Because your money, anything you'll earn or buy, your property, your real estate, is as much a part of you as your nose. Paul, did you go to sleep at night worrying about your nose falling off? Your eyes popping out? No. Yeah, it's not a question. Your nose is your nose. So your money is your money. And your house, your house. There's nothing to worry about. So you go to doctors to make sure your nose should be healthy? Do you like a nose rubs every now and then? You don't do anything for your nose. Your nose you can take totally for granted. Do you worry about your nose? Do you do ear massages to make sure your ears should stay put? Do you ever do anything for ears? Maybe with earmuffs. Yeah, so that much yes. You can mess up your ears. You can cut, you can be like Vincent Van Gogh and chop your ear off. Yeah, you can do that. You can be like Cyrano de Bergerac and have your nose chopped off. Remember that guy? Cyrano? But, it's very rare and very meshigah to lose your nose, but to lose your ears. So too, it's very rare to lose your money. Your money is yours. You don't lose it so fast. You could throw it away. Just like you could cut your ear off and you could cut your nose off. But it's not common. It's not normal. So there's nothing to worry about. Unless you have a fit of mishigas, you could throw your money away. You could do that. You could, like someone just told me, the rich guy came there and said, he wanted to make an investment. So he invested in a check the company out. Some company allegedly makes gluten-free cookies. Put $1 million into the company. And guess what? The whole thing was a fraud. Con artist. And they just lost his whole money. So the guy lives in America. Works very hard, he's an insurance agent, spends his whole life earning money. Now he's about to retire. What happened? He just took his $100 million and he put it in the hands of con artists and it's gone. There's nothing he can do about it. Now that, they're suing him. So, whatever's coming to you is coming to you. Whatever's not coming to you, you're going to lose. So maybe that $1 million, evidently wasn't his. It wasn't meant that he worked too hard, he worked too much. He got his money. So what happened? Hashem put it in his head, I'm a shigas, to go and give it to some unreliable people, and gone, just like that. So, Can't be prevented. So that is the Yisoid of the Moranayim. Whatever is coming to you will run after you. That's, he says, is Gevaltig Yisoid here. That he says, this is Yisoid, he says in Parashas Chanan. It's one of my favorite Yisoidus. That whatever is coming to you will run after you. That's it. And more than your pranasa, more than you want your pranasa, Chaim, the pranasa wants you. The pranasa needs you. The money needs you, Chaim. Because there's no tachas in the bria except being in your pocket. See, you, Chaim, have a lot of things going on in your life. You do a lot of things in one day. You go to davening, you eat breakfast, you pay your bills, you earn some money, you fix your car, you go swimming, you do all kinds of things, you read the paper, you're a busy man. The money in your pocket has no tachlis at all, except for one tachlis, to be in your pocket. Your money is more desperate to be in your pocket than you are to have it in your pocket. Because you have many things going on in your life. If you don't make this money, there's other things you do in life. And if you be a poor person, you have a penny to your name, there's a lot of things going on in your life. You have many tachlisim. You have many mitzvahs to do. A lot of Torah to learn. You have to take care of your wife, take care of your children. You have many roles. You're a husband, a father. This or that. You're a very multi-variegated person. But the money has no tachlis except to be by you. So more than you want the money wants you. Because there's no purpose in life without being in your pocket. That's the Yisoid. Unless you run after the money. You know the Moranayim Yisoid. When you run after the money, it runs away from you. Because everything in the world wants to be with something more chashuv than it is. So, everybody wants to be with someone more chashuv, right? Don't you want to be a chashuv of people? Like rubbing shoulders with a Spinker Rebbe. You want to rub shoulders with chashuv of people, right? And Spinker Rebbe likes to rub shoulders with the Klosenberg Rebbe or something, with some bigger Rebbe than him. So, money wants to be in your pocket because you are bigger than the money, unless you bow down to the money, unless you run after the money. If you grovel for the money, the money says, I don't want to be in that guy's pocket. He's lower than I am. But hooray, he lowered himself to me. So these are the Yisoidus of the Moranayim on money from these parishes that we missed when I was away. Getting to the Halakha of Kedushas Levi, the Kedushas Levi, in this week's parasha, what does he say? Oh, he says, Shaiftim v'shaiftim, he has on, and he does on a Shaiftim. And he says, Shaiftim v'shaiftim, titin l'cha b'chol sherecha, v'shaftas amish b'tzedek. He says, the Rebbeinu Shlom judges Knesset Yisrael every day at Mishpat. But he says that Hashem would like to judge us with Rachmanis. However, Hashem can only, this is a very important Yisod, Hashem can only arouse His Rachmanis if we arouse it for Him. When we Jews down here have Rachmanis to our fellow Jew, then we're Ma'arid Rachmi Shemayim on that Jew. But if we are never Mori Rachman on a Jew, Hashem has no basis for which to be Mori Rachman. He's actually very upset with us. That's why Hashem doesn't like Lashon Hara. Because He wants us to have Rachmanis on our fellow Jews. And when we start judging our fellow Jews and speaking poorly of them, that means we're using Midas Adin, that means it's a Rachman. So that stymies and frustrates the Rebbeinu Shlom, because now He cannot use Midas Rachman himself. Because the initiators of Midas Rachman has to be us. That's the interesting thing you saw. The initiators of Midas HaRachim is us. When we have Rachmanis, Mahu Avata. Hashem can't be a Merachim unless we give Him the koyach to do it. So the Kedushas Levi says, that's Pshat, Shaiftim v'shaiftim titin l'cha b'chol sherecha, which means, Bidon l'chav zchus. Shaiftim v'shaiftim means, b'chol sherecha, the Jews down here should be judged every yid l'chav zchus. And then we're married lamala that they're bunched them lamas chusan us. So that's shot in the pasuk. You yourself will be masakin the din and shemayim based on what you do b'sherecha. Hishav to usam mishpat tzedek. And by virtue of the fact that you judge Eden with rachmanis in shemayim, hishav to usam mishpat tzedek. Hashem will judge those Eden with Mishpat Tzedek, with Tzedakah, and with compassion. That's the Moranayim in Parashat Shaiftim. I mean, not the Moranayim, the Kedushas Levi. Now, I just was going through the Kedush Levi in the last, in the third chalek, the Kutim, and he says something very interesting. Just to open it random, he speaks about tefillah. He has two shtickles actually I want to share with you about tefillah. Yeah. Two shtickles about tefillah. What does he say about tefillah? He says, he says, once upon a time, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev was visiting a certain town, and his minhag was always the daven with Amud. So he's davening with Amud, and he was very ma'arich of the tefillah. When he finished, the Rav of the town came over to him and said, good Shabbos, it was a Shabbos. And he says, how come, my dear Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, you weren't afraid, you weren't concerned about tircha de tzibura? How did you daven so long? You know, tircha de tzibura daven so long. He davened for a long, long time. And he says, the Gemara says by Rabbi Akiva, and Brogas of Lamed Aleph, that when he was mitzvah with the tzibur, he was makatzer. The heiligatan of Rabbi Akiva, then Yosef, when he davened with tzibur, he was makatzer, the Gemara says. However, when he davened alone, says the Gemara, when he davened with yechidus, so, he started davening in one corner of the base medrash, he ended up in a different corner. I mean, his davening was like such a slavus. He lost himself that he mamash went from one corner of the base medrash to another. It's like he got lost. But you see, when he davened with Tzibur, he was quick. So how come you, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, was so slow? Tzirch v'tzibur. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak said that you don't understand Pshat and the Gemara. Pshat differently. About her, what do you mean, Rabbi Kiva, his tzibur, v'tzirch v'tzibur? He had 24,000 tamidim, tzadikim and goyim. They would have loved to watch Rabbi Kiva down for hours. It wasn't a tircha for them. Emma's a tamidim. If people have the right attitude, then the rav is not be marish. They want to watch him. You know, chassidim go, they watch the rebbe do nanuim for a couple of hours on Shana Rabbah or during the year. Not too long for them. Because they want to learn from the rebbe. So what do you mean that the rekiva when it's tzibur is what the tirchli tzibur? He says, no, that's not the pshat. He says, the pshat is, when the rekiva is mesala, tzibur means when the people of the tzibur were with him, and they davened with kavanah like him. When he's mesala tzibur means that tzibur and him were davening the same kind of davening, a real good davening. A davening with kavanah. So then he didn't have to be marich, because the tzibur davened probably for themselves. But when he davened the yechidus, which means, that he was still davening with the tzibur. But the people were not with him. They weren't davening with kavanah. They were rushing through the davening. So that's called not davening with the tzibur. He davened with the tzibur, but they weren't with him. So then he, the tzaddik, this is what a tzaddik does. A tzaddik's job is to imala the tzilas that were not going to Shemayim. He has to bring them up to Shemayim. That's a big job. It takes a lot of time. Then talk to his marech. He says, that shot, it says in the Torah, in Bamidbar, uvenei don ma'aseh v'cholamachlis. Don means the tzaddikim who are don themselves. They judge themselves all the time. They don't judge others. Don't go around judging others all the time. They judge themselves. The tzaddikim are b'nei don. They're busy judging themselves. They're the ma'asiv of the kol machlis. They gather in all the tefillahs from the camp that didn't go to Shemayim. This is a very important insight. That the tzaddik, one of his functions is that the tefillahs that didn't make it, the tefillahs that were not great tefillahs, the tefillahs that were shvach and couldn't get Shemayim their own, the tzaddik is ma'asiv of the kol machlis. He gathers in all those tefillahs from Shemayim. So that's the pshat in Rabbi Kiva. You're the pshat. The pshat is that, again, when Rabbi Kiva says he davened with tzibur, he was makatzer, it means that the tzibur is davening with him. They're in the same adreg as he was. So there's nothing for him to do. There were no lost tefillahs that he had to gather in. When he davened with yechidus, then he was marach. What it means to say yechidus means he davened with the tzibur, but they were not with him. They weren't davening like him. Then Daka, he had a long davening ahead of himself because he had to lift up all those lost, wasted tzilas from the people of the tzibur that weren't with them, and that took a long time. Because b'nei don, ma'atav kol ma'achlas. That's what he's up to. There's a lady, he's there, Shane Laporte. And finally, gentlemen, for tonight, the finality will be the words of someone gave me a sefer this week. I wanted this for a long time. It's called the Eretz Tzvi. The Eretz Tzvi is by the Kozhlagov Rebbe, Rabbi Ches will do? No. Aha. So the Kosh of Rebbe says like this. It's called Eretz Tzvi, and the Cheska was reprinted, Ala Taira. He was Rabbi Yitzvi Furma. He was the Rosh Hashiva and Chachma Lablin. After Meir Shapira died, he became the Rosh Hashiva. He was a Talmud Muvak of the Avi Nezer. And much of the Torah is geboit on the Avi Nezer. So just open up to see what he says about Parashat Shoftim. He says some very interesting things, but I went in the back of the Sefer. He speaks about yard site. And since my father's yard site will be next Monday, Reb Shlomo Rabbi Shaya, Alav Shalom, my father. So he speaks about why you say Kaza and Nifter and even on the yard site. So he says the pshat like this. What's the meaning of Kaddish? The Naaman Lamela says that every year they'd like to get a Gan Eden. After 120, we want to all go to the Gan Eden. The only problem is there will be a police guard around Gan Eden not letting us in. And that will be the Malachim HaMashchisim that were created from our Averis. There's Malachim HaMashchisim created from our Averis, and they will not let us get to Gan Eden. Like Rashi says, when the other Rishon was chased out of Gan Eden, Hashem put the Kruvim around Gan Eden with the rotating, burning sword to stop other Rishon from coming in. So Rashi says, the Kruvim are Malachi Chavola. There are Kruvim called Malachi Chavola. These are the Malachim that created that. We made destructive angels by doing Averis. So he says, that's a shot in Hallel, we said this morning. Kol Goyim Svavuni B'Shem Hashem Ki Me'ilam. Kol Goyim Svavuni means that I created Goyim. I, the Jew, by doing Averis, created enemies to myself. I created my own enemies. Who's my worst enemy? Me. And now my own worst enemy, I create enemies. Because when I do an Aveir, I create Malachim Mashchisa, Malachim Chavola, and they do not allow me to get in the Gan Eden. So just like Mother Mishnah says that Hashem, Vayashin Hashem Miked in Gan Eden es Akruvim, Ves Laat Acherim Ves Apeches. And the Kruvim, they are not these sweet cherubs. These are Kruvim, says Rashi, are Malachim Chavola. So to every one of us creates Malachim Chavola. And don't think that these malachim that stop you from Gan Eden, the next world, it's this world. If you want to sit down and learn the Blat Gemara, what happens? The phone rings. Someone bothers you. Machshavas come in your head. Suddenly, just you're about to sit down, what happens? You have to make a phone call. I have to speak to somebody. I have to run to the bank. I have to go to New Jersey. Where does it come from, these machshavas that stare you? That's malach chavala. You created them. I created them. If you don't need this place to learn today, what happened to you? What happened to you? Why are you late to a shir? What's going on? Why are you late to davening? It's the malach chavala we created. It's very dick. Because Gan Eden is velt, it's to sit and learn, sit and daven, and do a mitzvah. And if somehow it just doesn't happen, you know, some days it just doesn't go, you know? It doesn't happen. It's very hard to buckle down. It's land sechnisht. That's the malach chavala of our own life. It's an amazing word. He says, that's the pshat, but however, he says, the only way you can overcome these malach chavala, what do? These malach chavala don't let me, they bad thoughts in my head, they put batal in my head, I have no cheshire to learn, I can't say my tillim, I get daven up shnel. This is all malach chavala. Like we say in tillim, hotziyam es ger nafshi lo zeh shmecha, no, he say, hatzilei meroit vay ki yomsi yemeni. So Rabbi Yopiyan would say, Hatzilei meroit, save me from my pursuers. What are my pursuers? Pursuers are the angels I myself created that are pursuing me to destroy me because I made these bad angels. Ki yomsi yemeni. Part of the yomsi yemeni means they're stronger from than me. Rabbi Yopiyan says it means they're stronger from me. Ki yomsi yemeni means they got their strength from me. I made them strong. Where did Malachim come from? Where did these evil Malachim come from? These evil thoughts and everything else. I made them. Ki many. They got strong from me, not stronger than me. The talk is stronger than me too. But they got strong from me. I made them. Because I put a lot of koich into my affairs. So he says that the best way to get rid of these bad koichas is by learning Torah Lishma. I learned Torah Lishma, Lishem Shemayim, to give Nachas Ruach to the Bnei Shalom, to understand Torah, to activate the Torah. I'm learning Torah Lishma not because I'm, for my sake, to show off, because I'm bored of something. I'm learning for the Torah's sake. The Torah wants to be learned. If you learn Torah Lishma, that taka can mevatel all these malachim. And that's why we say Kaddish. Kaddish, he says, is a pshat that the soul of our parents is blind to get into Gan Eden, but it's not getting in. Because they themselves created Malach HaChavol in their lifetime. And the Malach HaChavol have not yet been eliminated. But when the child, the son, says Kaddish, and he says the Lishma, he says, Amen Yesh Miram Mavor Lo Meo Maya, and he says it with a Gvaldik Eknak, and he does it with Mamash Lishma, that helps the parent, that Mamash, the child's recitation of Kaddish, done Lishma, wipes away all those negative Malachim that were preventing my parents from getting into Gan Eden, the ending of Gan Eden. That's the Cheshbon. Very interesting Cheshbon. Very interesting person. So, the Cheshbon over there is Tzvi. You don't have one? Chaim. Yotas. Arya Tzvi from Eretz Tzvi. And gradually, he says the same thing gradually in Parshas Vayetze. And he speaks about Barichas over here too. He says that there's a thing called Menias. Menias means things that are ma'akiv us. They're prevention. They're obstacles. Don't let us do mitzvahs properly. Menias. So he says the menias, all these menias, the things that are in our way, the shter ungin. These things come from us again. We created our own menias. It's hard for me to learn. It's hard for me to get tzedakah. It's hard for me to daven properly. It's hard for me to get my act together. I created it. Malach and Chavala. But you know, Grad, they say that Brassman Brestover said the word menias, if you transpose the letters, you get the word ni'imus. Ni'imus is yishmak. If you can take those very same menias that are meneos and they distracted us and it allows us to do mitzvahs and you overcome them, you say, I'm going to overcome them, Shemayim, so menias becomes ni'imus. That's essentially what he's saying too. That the menias, again, when you learn Torah Lishma, do a mitzvah Lishma, this creates a ne'imus, and it helps you. So don't feel bad when we have obstacles. Number one, we create those obstacles, not from Hashem, it's from us. And number two, by overcoming them, and not being the spoil, this brings to Gevalt, to Gishmak, and this is why Hashem wants us to have obstacles. Self-created obstacles. Because by overcoming them, we serve Hashem in a stronger life. Okay, gentlemen, we'll stop here, and Mr. Shem, we'll see you next week at 10:15 sharp for next year. Next week there is Ma'ariyim on the Parsha.